Several months back, there was an incredible piece of news that hit the CNN broadcast, and it caught my attention because it was about one of my favorite websites, eBay. eBay is a site where you can go and you can bid on various things that are up for auction. You've ever been there, Ted?
Yep.
Yep, Ted's been there. Many of you may have been there, too. You see things that come up for auction, and you can see the strangest things. One time I saw it was a teddy bear used, and the bid on it had gone up to $5. I was shocked. Some other strange things, like, and this one I'm still trying to figure out, toilet paper used. I don't think they mean the way it's supposed to be used. But one of the strangest things I'd ever heard about, and it came up on CNN, so I took a look at it on the website, was that a boy of about 15 decided he was going to put his soul up for auction on eBay. So he did. He hit $5, then $10, then $15, and $20, and $25, and $30, and the bidding kept going, $100, $200, $300, $400, $700, $1,000 for this boy's soul, and the bids kept on going up and up and up until it hit $1,500, and the bidding closed, and the winner of that soul was to pay $1,500. And the press interviewed the boy, and he said, "You know, I put it up there as a joke, thinking no one would want to buy my soul. But now I have the question of, how am I supposed to ship it? UPS, Federal Express, the post office, email. How do you ship a soul? And is a soul worth $1,500? I love the reading today from Mark's Gospel as it reads in the King James. The New Revised Standard kind of ruins it. It says life. But in the King James it says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" According to eBay, about $1,500. When you look at the world, when you look at things of this life, with the eyes of a human being, with the mind of a human, when you look at things as human beings look at things, as worldly people look at things, as you and me, as we in our nature look at things, when we look at the world with the eyes of a human, we see that things like souls aren't worth very much. But family and love, faith and hope and peace and grace, the untangible things of life, they're not worth very much, not with the eyes of a human. Whereas cars and boats and houses and stocks, especially stocks, are worth a whole lot of money. Just look at the terror on Wall Street this past week as the stock market fell, what, $300+? And then went up again. Like a roller coaster ride. You ever been to Six Flags and rode the Texas Giant, and you go down that hill, that first incredible hill, and then you go up again? That's how life sometimes is for us. And with the human eyes and with the human mind, we see stocks and we see houses and we see cars and we see property, and we think to ourselves, these are worth much. But grace and peace and faith and love, these things that can't be shipped by UPS, they're not worth very much. Somebody sent me one time a wonderful little saying, how little does $20 look when you go to dinner, and how much it looks when it goes into the offering plate at church? How little does $20 look when you're buying a tank of gas? And how, yeah, buys very little. How much does it look like when it goes into the offering plate at church? Oops, Greg's stepping on toes now. My own as well. The things of this life, the physical things, the property and the assets, that's worth a lot of money. Grace and peace and love and faith, things that you can't ship by UPS, those things aren't worth much. Or are they? Jesus was being very clear when he spoke to Peter. Peter was looking at him and listening to him with the human eyes and with human ears, and he was hearing Jesus say that he was going to go and he was going to die and that he was going to be raised again. But Peter only heard the part about him dying. And so he takes his Lord and his Savior, his Master, his Teacher, aside and rebukes him. How dare you say that, Jesus? Far be it from you that you would die. And what does Jesus do? He turns to him in front of them all. And he says, "Get behind me, Satan. For you're looking at things with human eyes, not with divine eyes. You're looking at this with the eyes and the mind of a human, not the eyes and the mind of God. What is valuable to humans is worthless to God. And I'm sorry to say, what tends to be very worthless to humans is valuable to God. Trust, love, faith, peace, grace, those things that can't be shipped UPS, they are very valuable. A boy was going to get $1,500 for his soul. But when you think about what a soul is really worth eternally, it's just a drop in the bucket, just a penny here and a penny there. What's important, my friends, are those things that can't be shipped, UPS. And one of them's faith, the faith of Abraham. The faith of Sarah, the faith of Paul, the faith of Jesus. Faith that God will do what he says. The faith that we can trust him to be there for us in our darkest hour. The faith to do what God tells us to do. And that's really the hard part. Doing the faith. Every year, at least once a year, I preach the same message on faith. You've seen this chair, or one like it, many times. I bet by the time I'm finished here, y'all could preach this sermon yourselves. It's just an ordinary chair. Nothing up my sleeve. Nothing up my sleeve here. Just an ordinary chair. A solid chair. Sounds pretty solid. Looks pretty solid. You know what? I think that chair will hold me. That chair really will hold me. Before last services, I saw Alita sitting in that chair, so I know it at least holds her. I'm a little larger than Alita. But you know what? I think that chair really will hold me. I really and truly believe that chair will hold me. I believe it so much that I'm just going to sit down over here. Now, I ask you, is that faith? Shake your head no. Thank you. No, it's not faith. That's belief. You know, I really and truly believe that chair will hold me. But until I put my belief in action, until I take that belief that I have that the chair will hold me, and I put it into action by sitting in the chair, I don't have faith. This is faith. It is belief that the chair will hold me put into action. This is even more faith. But the chair really will hold all of my weight. Bouncing up and down is even greater faith. It's faith. My belief put into action. Now, how do we do that with our belief in Jesus Christ? How do I translate that image of the chair and sitting in the chair as an act of faith into faith in Jesus Christ? When Jesus tells you that I will never leave you nor forsake you, believing it is one thing, but living your life as if it's true is another thing. It's faith. I am the God who heals you. Many of us are sick. There are many members of our congregation who have various illnesses, from simple colds to cancer and heart disease. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, the promise we receive from God is that He is the Lord who heals us. He is the God who takes away not just our sins, but our sicknesses and our infirmities too. It's a promise that demands an act of faith. Not just believing that God can heal us, but living your life as if God has. Placing your life in His hands. Another act of faith, one that we will experience today, is simply coming for communion. Jesus said, "This is my body. This is my blood." Now, do we believe it? Do we believe that when we come to communion, Jesus Christ is really present for us? If we believe it, and we act upon it by coming forward and kneeling and receiving the elements, then by faith, Christ will be formed in our hearts. It's an act of faith, my friends, trusting that Christ will meet us where He said He'll meet us, in these means of grace. Indeed, look to your neighbors in your pews. Jesus says, "For two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you." Well, last time I looked, there are more than two or three gathered here in Jesus' name today. Guess what? That means that Jesus, the Word of God, our Lord and Savior who died on the cross, is here right now. You can trust that, my friends. You can lay your life on it. You can rest in the truth that God's promises are real. And you can live in faith with them. Now look at Abraham. When Abraham first received a promise, what did he do? He laughed. At you and me, he laughed. He might have believed it, but he thought it was wild. And so he and Sarah figured out a way to get it done for God. You know, God's crazy. God doesn't know that Sarah's old and I'm even older. Therefore, I will take Sarah's handmaid and we will have a baby with her. And then Sarah can adopt that baby and we'll get God's job done for him. That's seeing things with human eyes and with a human mind. That's not God's will in this case. No. God told Abraham, no, not with Ishmael, the offspring of you and Hagar. No, Isaac, the offspring of you and Sarah. You who be 100, Sarah who be 90. Your kid. I will make my nations with him. Now, with the human eyes, that's impossible. I mean, Abraham and Sarah were older than anybody here today. Even you, Vanda. Although you're getting close to Sarah's age. Nevertheless, with Sarah and Abraham, God would create nations. And with the human mind, with the human eyes, it's impossible. But with God, It's possible. And Abraham was called to live by faith. And that faith was accounted to him as righteousness. And that's our promise today. We are promised to receive righteousness, to receive receive the very presence of Jesus in our lives when we act in faith. And that is what we are called to do today. I invite you to come to the table of the Lord and receive the righteousness, to receive the real presence of Jesus again in this act of faith of simply coming and kneeling and taking the elements and receiving them and trusting that Jesus' words, "This is my body, this is my blood," are true. And receive again into yourselves the real presence, the love, the grace, the peace, the power of Jesus, which can sanctify and make you whole. On this, the second Sunday of Lent, as we continue to prepare for the death and resurrection of Jesus, for observing it again and for seeing our culpability in his death on the cross again, I invite you to come and to open yourself to his love and presence. And by faith, receive the righteousness of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.